Father, we thank you. We just take a moment and bow before you here this evening, Lord, giving you the place where you deserve all the glory, all the credit, all the honor. Let everything that's done here tonight and said here tonight glorify you and exalt you and promote the gospel. Lord, there's an expectancy here tonight, and we thank you for that which you have sent us this evening. And we're prepared to learn and to receive from you, Lord. And we just thank you so much for it. We are all awaiting eagerly that which you want to bless us with this evening. In Jesus' name, glory. I've got this book right here, and I want to read something out of it. From the 73rd Psalm, starting with verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." Translation, in 10 words or less, only God can satisfy. Amen. Only God can fulfill. You know, I've seen some things going on this week. In fact, I had a lady just this afternoon. She said to me, "Some people in my family are doing weird things." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by weird?" She says, "Well, my husband has been reading when I'm not home." Well, of course, you know immediately what that... Yeah. She says, "Yeah, when I'm not home, he's been reading the Bible." I said, "Hallelujah. And that's a problem?" Then she says, "And my son has decided he needs to go to church. And he's making his wife and his son go with him." I said, "Hallelujah. I don't call that weird. I call that great." I said, "But do you understand what's going on?" You know, elementary, Watson. Everybody reaches a point in their life where if they don't know God, all of a sudden nothing satisfies anymore. Amen. The things of the world don't satisfy anymore. You know, people get a little money in the bank, but they find that doesn't satisfy anymore. Got a good car in the driveway, nice house. That doesn't fill the hole in their life. That doesn't satisfy. And sin. Sin will always demand more, but never satisfy. Works of the flesh will always demand more, but never satisfy. All the money, all the possessions, all the earthly wisdom and skills and talents you may have can take you right to the grave, but not one bit beyond, because only God can satisfy. Amen. And, you know, and I've been hearing these reports coming back to me of people all of a sudden going to church, all of a sudden receiving a revelation from God, all of a sudden receiving a desire in their heart to know their Creator. And boy, that just blesses me to no end. Amen?
Amen.
God is busy. God is on the move. And, you know, you've heard me say this before, when it looks like you're down to nothing, God is up to something. You can count on it every time. Glory. Gene, you had a little something for us? Well, get on up here. We can't hear you sitting back there.
I have something to say for the record, just for the record. I want everyone to know how much I appreciate Stan and Connie. From the first day I met them, 11 years ago when I came to this church, and my life has changed year after year because of their ministry. I don't know if they know what they mean to me or not, but I didn't really come alive as a Christian until I sat under Stan's ministry. And they just mean so much to me, I can't even tell you how much. And, well, I wouldn't be here. And your ministry has softened my heart, has changed my heart, changed my life, changed my outlook. It took a while. There were bumps along the way. And it took time, but it stuck.
I'm going to hold off on prayer ministry until the end of the service because I don't know what God has for us. So we're just going to wait and find out and let Him lead. Amen. That's always the best way. But no matter what goes on here tonight, I encourage you, if you need prayer for something, don't leave until you've got it. Amen. Even if it's after the service, we'll stay here till midnight and pray with you or beyond if that's what it takes. Okay, so don't anybody leave unprayed for.
Amen.
All right. It's my pleasure to introduce a couple that needs no introduction, Stan and Connie Setliff. I could say live and direct from the Lone Star State, except you are live, but I know you didn't come here from direct. You kind of took the circuitous route. But welcome. We're glad you're here. And Connie is going to bless us this evening, and we're ready.
Patrick, I want to go ahead and play that real quick, and I'm going to dim the lights up front here. Hello, you bunch of nuts. Have you ever been called nuts? Have you really? Oh, come on, Bob. I know I've called you nuts a time or two. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited about God's Word because I know how much it is really, I've had a hard time putting it down of what He really wants to share. I just kind of had to draw it to a close as I was studying it. It's just, I know it changed my heart. I know it's going to make change in my life. And so I know that for you, your lives are going to be changed. And you know what? I'm speaking up front here, but you know what? There are some elders out there. And I am honored to be able to speak in front of the elders here. It is really an honor. I just want to pray real quick, and I appreciate the words already that have been spoken. I appreciate it so much. Good words. God's word. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to waste your time. We're not going to waste these people's time tonight. As they have come, I pray, Father, that you've already begun to speak to them. You've already begun to speak to their hearts. Help us to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't necessarily know that I have a title other than the title is Believe. And a little bit later, the little skit that I had you take a look at a few minutes ago will come into play. But believe. And, you know, we have heard that word a lot. You know, you read it in God's Word, and we've heard it a lot. We've heard faith a lot. It's kind of like love. Love is, it's kind of been thrown around so much, and we hear it so much, it's lost its effect. So as we take a look tonight about the word believe, I hope that you are challenged, as I was, as I began to dig in here, challenged that I need to believe more. I need to believe. We are living in a day and time where we better be believing the right thing. I don't want to jump ahead. Let me get to this. Psalm 78, verse 17 through 22. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for food and food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this. And in this translation, New King James says he was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob. And an anger also came up against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. I'm going to start back in the first part of chapter 78 real quick. I knew if I brought a different Bible, I'd be lost. Let me see. Chapter 78 of Psalm. Now, y'all know what has happened in this chapter is he's provided so much. And I'm going to see where I need to start here. Starting in verse 11. Actually, let's start in verse 10. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap, and in the daytime, he led them with a cloud. This is out in the desert. It's hot out there, and yet there's a cloud. And in the night, with a light of fire. In the desert, without, it gets dark out there. But he led them with a light of fire. He split the rocks of the wilderness, and he gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. This is in a desert, in a dry place. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused the waters to, but they sinned even more. And this is where I started a while ago. But they sinned even more against him. Did you see all what he had done for them? Now I want to fast forward just a little bit. I don't want to get too far ahead of my notes, but I want to fast forward a little bit. That sounds like history. Is that history? But you know what? We serve the same God that was providing for them then. He is the same. He's the same one today. You know, we can't use that parable. I mean, we can't use that story for us today. I mean, I don't need a cloud by day. I've got whatever I need. I've got a vehicle to go in. But you know what? Today, whatever you're needing, he will provide. I'm jumping ahead. How many of you like to be questioned about what you're saying is truthful? Do you like being called a liar? One thing that gets Stan's dander up if he's on the phone is someone that has told him he's a liar. Or even on the face-to-face, if someone says, that's not true, are you calling me a liar? Whenever you know what you're saying is the truth and someone says, I don't believe that, they're saying you are a liar. Do you like being called a liar, Gene? I bet you nobody in here likes being called a liar, do you, Brandon? No way. What you say is what you're going to believe. Whatever you're saying, you are sold on. You believe it. You can't be convinced of anything else because out of the abundance of the heart, the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you repeat is what you believe. You know, I don't want to chase this rabbit, but I was trying to figure out, you know, as little kids, we learned the alphabet. We learned the alphabet by learning the song. And I'm not going to sing it because we don't want to go there. A, B, C, D, and on. We know what order it comes in. We learned that but you know what? We had to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. I've started, you know, with the grandkids, you start. And they only get to see, and it's like start all over, you know. But they've got to repeat it so that they're going to believe it. You know, do you think that it's possible that somebody later can maybe share with me after the service how it got that A got ahead of B? How did G get ahead of H? Well, you can share with me later if you know what the answer is. But anyway, you repeat. What you repeat is what you're going to begin to believe. What you hear continually, you're going to believe. What you're listening to on the radio, on the TV, what you're listening to in movies, in music, you're going to believe. Whatever those lyrics are, those lyrics, you know, again, I'll go back, you know, we learn Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We learn that as little kids. And, man, it's been a long time since I sang that song. But you know what? I still know it because I sang it and repeated it, and I believe it. Do others around you know what you believe? Bob's saying yes. Can everybody else say, the people around me know what I believe? You know what? It's not only knowing what you believe, it's knowing where you stand. You know, I took a look at the word believe in that particular passage in Psalm 78 in Psalm 78. Listen, listen at some of the translation here. It says to build up. Whatever you believe, you're going to build it up. If you believe that this is going to be a big church with multiple services, hello, you're going to build it up. If you believe, you are going to build it up. Look at the next one. Or support. Whatever you believe, you are going to support. If you don't believe it, you're not going to support it. Also, a translation here was to nurse it. Whatever you believe, you're going to nurse. Now, some of you guys, I know that you can't relate to this, but I'll tell you, whenever you have a, I'll take this into the animal world. Whenever you have Whenever you have a female that gives birth, we did bunnies, we've done puppies. Whenever you're nursing something, it's all about them. It's all about them. It's a constant. You can't skip. You've got to nurse it in the morning. You got to nurse it at noon. You got to nurse it in the evening. You got to nurse it whenever it's crying because it's hungry. You got to nurse it. So believing, you see where I'm going there? If you believe something, you're going to nurse it. Also, King James translate believe is establish. If you believe something, it's going to be established. New Life Church is established. You know why it is established? Because we believed. We believed before we even had a building. We believed before there was one person coming to the church because we didn't have chairs. We didn't have a congregation. Before New Life Church was started, before it was established, we believed. Also, believe is steadfast. 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 Again, it said to nurse. We have to be cautious with what we're believing. Every one of us here believes in something. I got a question for you. Does it line up with God's word? Does what you're believing in, what you're believing on, does it line up with God's word? Or is it something your mother did? Your grandmother did? Yeah, I'm gonna jump in here and share a quick story with you. This daughter came in and she goes, Mom, she goes, why are we using this small pan to bake this turkey in? She goes, I don't know. She goes, my mother used it. So she goes to her grandmother. She goes, Grandma, why did we use this small pan to bake this turkey in? And she goes, I don't know. My mother used it. So she goes to her great-grandmother. She goes, why did we use this small pan to bake this turkey in? Well, honey, my oven would only hold that size pan. We're trying to do something whenever... Do you realize the technology? Do you realize where we are today? We can't live back then. Things have changed. And we need to change with what's going on. Amen? The word says, let everything be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, doesn't it? Let everything. I want you to think about this. Even the wrong belief can be established. Even what is wrong, what is not godly, can be established. If I say, you know what, Donna, I saw Bill Backus's, I saw his car down at the Lone Star Saloon. Donna gets on the phone and she's talking to Karen and she says, you know what Connie told me? She saw. Now, one, two, three. Now, we're beginning to plant a seed that people are going to begin to believe that Bill is down there drinking, that he's down there. You know what I'm saying? God's, we need to make sure that we look at the other side as out of the mouth of two. Let everything be established out of the mouth of two. But we need to establish what is right. What is right? If it doesn't line up with God's word, then we don't need to be speaking it. Romans 3:3-4. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? The scripture says, certainly not. Indeed. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. Hello, you know what? That includes this man. We never like to say it starts with this person. It starts here. If I'm not saying what is God's word, I'm a liar. I'm going against God if I'm not saying God's word, God's plan. There's so many examples of the benefits of those that believed in God's word. And Genesis, one of the ones is Genesis. He believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because why? He believed in God. Man, this is simple. This is simple. I know that a lot of times we talk about faith and we talk about trust, but you know what? We've got to believe. We've got to believe. And you know what? It's not just Daniel. There are situations that we're in. There are situations that are coming at us. All we have to do is believe. And we'll come out just like Daniel. Totally untouched. Totally untouched. You've got to believe, though. I can't believe for you. The pastors here, Pastor Bill and Pastor Bob, cannot believe for you. You have to choose this day, Gene, to believe. Believe what? Believe God's word. Simple. Believe God's word. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord, your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. I want to remind you about the asbestos kids. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know who the asbestos kids are, Brandon? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Daniel 3:16-18, it said, they replied to this king. They said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." They're saying this to the king. We don't need to defend ourselves. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. You think they believed? You think they were convinced? They're talking to the king. We don't need to defend ourselves, king. The God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, even if he does not, we want you to know, king, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Are we bold enough to say, I know we don't have kings now, but we have things in this world that are set up by man. I'm going to shoot one out there, and I don't want to I don't want to get on a bandwagon, but health care. Oh, health care king, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to bow to your gods. It doesn't matter. I know that my God is going to take care of me. Believe God or believe man. Let's see. If I had a scale up here, believe God, believe man. Believe God, believe man. It's simple. Believe God. Believe God, Bill. Believe God. Whatever it is in your life, believe the Lord your God. Things that have been seen and experienced are easy to believe. Sometimes we see the pages and we hear the stories, and it's sometimes difficult for us to stretch back and believe. I know we have a fiction writer in here, so I don't want to talk about fiction, but sometimes whenever you are actually involved in a situation, it's a lot easier for you to believe it. You know, I think I shared with you about the bees. Did I share with you all about the bees at one time? Well, whenever we were in the thick of those crazy bees, it was serious. But you know what? Whenever I told you the story, maybe it was hard for you to relate. But there are things that you've been in that you believe because you experienced it. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things, Harry, that you have been in and you have seen. You have seen God move, Marie. You have seen God do the miraculous. You have experienced it and you believe it. Nobody can change your mind about it. Nobody can change your mind about it. Jesus said, this is in Luke 8:49. While he was still speaking, someone came to the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, Jesus hears all of our cries. I said Jesus hears all of our cries. He answered and said, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." It didn't say if you go out there and shout and start speaking in tongues, and that is all good because there is a time for that. It was simple. Believe. Don't be afraid. He set the tone right there of what was going to happen. In a calm voice, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." Where do you think Jesus got this confidence? Huh? Do we have this confidence? I had to ask that myself. Do I have that kind of confidence? Don't be afraid. Only believe. In John 14:10, "Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwell in me, he doth the works." Now I'll do like Pastor Bob said a while ago. Now this is the translation. Don't listen to what I'm saying, but listen to the God that is in me. He's the one that has control of your situation. He's the one, the God in me. And you know what? The other side of that is there may be a little G-O-D in you. And he can't do squat but cause problems. But the God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God that is in me. What was the scripture that we heard on Sunday? If that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will give life to your mortal body. Mark 11:22, 23, 24 through 24. Man, this has been This is like a hub scripture for new life. I know we've used it around here a lot of times, and we could probably say it, quote it without reading it, but I want to read it to you. Have faith in God. That's right. Only. Not in your 401k, not in Obamacare, not in any kind of, you can't fall back on anything, because it's going to fall underneath you. It's going to give way. But you know what? There's one thing that will not give way, and that is God. God will not give way out from under you. He'll not. He can be trusted. He's not a man that he can lie. You can take whatever he says, you can take it to the bank. And it won't return non-sufficient. Never. 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 It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what age. It doesn't matter what age. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. This is what Jesus is saying. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. That if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but, I thought believes was in there, but believes that what he says will happen. Now, I know that I have seen people quote the scripture, and boy, they're good at it. They can tell you verse, chapter, where it's located. They got it memorized, like the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But you know what? That's not going to get them anywhere. If they don't believe it, if it's not what their trust is in, then it's words on a page. It's words on the wall. It's words like you'll find in any fiction book. It's words that you'll find in any newspaper. They're just words. But they're not just words. They are God's words. And what he says, he will do. Amen? If you believe and not doubt. And you know what? A lot of times we get our believer going, boy, we are sold. And then here comes the enemy. He's going to come. But you know what? Whenever you remind the enemy what you believe, and you know, sometimes the enemy is the person that you look at in the mirror. It's not your neighbor. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's you know who you're looking at in the mirror. When the enemy comes in, you're going to have to remind them what God's word says. I believe. The scripture says, I believe, I am persuaded. What's the scripture say? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. I am persuaded. You have to remind whatever enemy it is what you believe. You know what? It may be several times in one day. Are you up to it? Are you up to it to just say, you know what? This is what I believe, period. Karen used to say, period, end. But a period at the end of the sentence is the end. After you have said what you believe, because it lines up with God's word, stand on it. Nurse it. What was one of the other ones I said? It's established. In a minute, if you'll read that email. One of the simple scriptures, what time is it that we normally get out? About 8 o'clock? Oh, well, praise the Lord. Man, I'm doing good. John 3:16. Man, this is a more or less the wheel in the middle of the wheel for believers. This is the one scripture that it's like the alphabet. Man, you said it whenever you were young, whenever you're going to VBS, whenever you're going to some little Sunday school class. This is the scripture. You said it over and you said it over again. Look at this. For God so loved the world. This is a bunch of people that couldn't even believe that he could give them water in the desert. This is a bunch of people that couldn't even believe that God could provide the meat that they needed. For God so loved the world. For Connie, who was going to screw up. For God so loved me. You put your name right there. For God so loved you. It doesn't matter what your history is, where you came from. For God so loved you that he gave his only son. This scripture, NIV, says his one and only son, but we know that that's not right because we're his sons and daughters. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you know, with Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. What we have to remember and believe is all that he did on that cross covered everything, every situation, salvation, health, deliverance in every form, deliverance from your past. I don't care if you were abused. I don't care if you had an alcoholic mama and daddy. It doesn't matter what your past is. You know, I was just reminded of this. In Beeville, Texas, there's several prisons. And a lot of the people that go to the church there, they work at the prison. And one of the things that it kind of rings, because they talk to the inmates, well, every one of them are in there because of somebody else. It's nothing that they did. But their mama or their daddy or their wife or their husband or whatever, somebody else, it's their fault. You know, sometimes in churches, you hear that same tone. You know, I want to make sure and challenge you today. We have got to be careful what we're believing. It's only life and death. That's all. What you're believing, Bob Romero, it's only life and death. That's all. You know what? I got to tell y'all this, and you probably know it, but every one of us are going to end up 6 feet under. This fleshly body is going to end up 6 feet under. And there's going to be a tombstone on the top. Every one of us, that's where we're going to end. That's where this body is going to end up. But you know what? That's not the end of the story. That is the beginning. That's right. But you know what? It's not enough, Bob, for what you believe. What are the people around you seeing what you believe? It's not enough for you to get through, Donna. Oh, praise the Lord. Donna's gone to heaven. Well, what did she believe? Do we really know where she was standing? Where she was firm? Because whatever you believe is going to affect the lives of so many people. And Jean testified to that a while ago. You know what? We were being obedient to what God wanted us to do. And there's many still here that are being obedient. Thank you for what God is wanting to do. Because you believe. You believe it here. You know what? We had a ladies' fellowship. Oh, I took my clock away. Oh, we're still doing good. Is that Texas time or is that Denver time? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay. we had a ladies' fellowship meeting, and at the end we always have time for prayer. And so this lady comes up, and she begins to tell me, she goes, "Well, I need prayer for my daughter-in-law." She gave me her name, and she's got this, and let's pray that this will happen to her, and that God will, and God prompted me to tell her to hush. And I was like, "Well, God, you don't want to do that." And so she went on. I said, "You know, I won't say her name." I said, "Hang on, I got to stop you here. God was telling me to stop you a few minutes ago, but I want to stop you right here." And I told her, "Don't try to micromanage God." She was trying to put this, I told her, I said, "You're trying to put together a puzzle and God created the puzzle. You're trying to tell God where to put the piece. Hello? Don't try to micromanage God. Color outside the lines." I won't make eye contact. We just never, I don't even know why I chased that rabbit. Anyway, I guess it needed to be caught. James, you know what? I'm going to get Stan to come up here and read this in a second, because he's also going to read an email from our son. You know, I thank God that I'm married to a godly man and that he was birthed from godly parents, and that from that he was there, they were birthed from godly parents. Isn't that awesome? On his side, I know that they were godly. But you know what? On my side of the fence, my mom went to church on Christmas and on Easter. A little bit like what you said. If that. So I can't say that I had a, wow, I had a good godly background. And man, I was established because of what my family had done for me. But for him, man, God's word, faith in God was installed to him from little. God's word was, it was repeated into him. He heard it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. How many of y'all remember those days? There's a lot of churches in America, and maybe that's some of our downfall, is not this church, but across the nation, you see on Sunday nights, it's hard to find a church open. Even sometimes on Wednesday nights, it's hard to find a church. They go on Sunday morning, that's it. They've had their three songs or poem, and they're out the door. But our son sent us a text the other day. He says, "I need for y'all to pray." And many of y'all know Jason and Marcia. And now he is 35 years old, in the military, got a wife, two children, one on the way. He's got a house. And I'm going to describe it to you you're going to see what it looks like. It's a pretty little house with a white picket fence. They got two cars in the garage, got a dog in the backyard, and got a dog house. Everything's going smooth. Oh, man, it's easy to praise God when everything's going smooth, isn't it? Woo! It's easy to praise God when he got a job, whenever you got benefits, when you got health insurance, life insurance, all kinds of insurance and assurance. It's easy to praise God. Well, the other day, they got a third one on the way now. So we're going to have 11 grandchildren. 11 healthy grandchildren. So anyway, we got a text the other day. It says, "Pray for us," because Marcia went in and they saw some stuff on the ultrasound, and they spoke words and caused fear. "So pray for us." So we immediately, "Come on in. Come on down, Beverly, you're the next contestant." That's okay. That's okay. Okay, that's all right. Praise the Lord. So anyway, everything's going right. They had it all down. In fact, the last time we were over there, maybe the time before last that we were over there, that they were already planning on a new job that he was going to take on. So much more money, more benefits. With a military man, he's making good money. He knew he had this next job. It's like, man, it's going to be different. It's going to be even better than what it is. Even better than what it is. Well, God closed that door. God closed that door. I said, God closed the door. He didn't lose out anything. But now things are changing. The monthly income that they had is not quite as much as it was. So therefore, maybe the private school is going to be a little different. Anyway, what I'm saying is change is coming into their life. Well, I think Stan's going to read the email. But anyway, whenever we got that text, we prayed. We didn't pray, Lord, help them. When we prayed, we believed what we were saying. We're firmly convinced that our prayers went and touched their hearts and their minds, because the fear that came in from this doctor put them uneasy. But because we believe. And I want to share with you, and Stan's going to share with you this email. And after he shares with the about the email, I know that God's got some personal ministry for some of you tonight. But what I want to end this with before he says the email is, you know what? If we hadn't in our lives brought Jason up, and the people around us seen that we believe in what we're saying. I don't tell people to do something that I would not do, because I believe. I am firmly convinced. Totally. Completely. You're not going to change my mind. That's whenever you know that you believe. You truly believe in God. Stan, you want to share that email? You want me to find it? Well, this is an email that Jason sent the very next day.
Now, we already knew this was going on. We'd already prayed. We'd already taken care of this. Our last email to him was that it's finished. You need to always remember that everything you say, you need to be able to say at the end, it's finished. That way you'll know you believe it. And so will they. Dear family, Marcia and I just wanted to take a moment to share with you news of what is going on in our lives. Yesterday we went for a checkup for Marcia and the baby. We had an ultrasound and the baby looked great, all growing as he should be for this stage in pregnancy. At the conclusion of the ultrasound, a doctor came in and told us that she saw markers that could have been associated with syndrome, Down syndrome. She also stated that this was very common in pregnancies and that there is most likely no reason for concern. Now let me tell you something. If there's no reason for concern, shut up.
Amen.
Even in the dumbest, simplest first aid class I ever went with was in the military. They said, if you go up and find one of your buddies that's been injured and his arm is blown off, don't go up and say, oh my God, your arm is blown off. So you try to keep your head. She also stated, well, you can imagine the concern it did cause after the news was delivered. Marcia's doctor was not the one who delivered the news. Now, one thing you can count on is when you're trying to believe for something, the enemy's going to send somebody to discourage you. And this happened to be a stranger. And when we got to him, Marcia's doctor was not the one who delivered this news. And when we got to him, he seemed a little perturbed by the way it was handled. He informed us that he has seen this numerous times in his years of medicine and wanted to assure us that he felt we had nothing to worry about. The negative thoughts and worry were already in place. We called our pastors and the elders of our church and asked them to pray for us according to the Bible in James 5, 14, and 15. Now, he didn't ask for prayer. He directed what he asked for. He's learned a little something from Daddy. Don't just trust everybody you talk to. If you're going to ask agreement, tell them what they need to agree about. And this is the scripture. If you want to put it up there, you can, but it's James 14 and 15. "Is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name, and the prayer of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." And that's why he directed the scripture. He's expecting. Marsh and I truly believe that this is an exercise in our faith and trust in God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the great physician. We have come out of a time where it seemed that nothing could go wrong, either in my work, our school, or the boys' schooling. We moved into this year sensing change in our career paths, especially mine, Jason, and now even Marsha's as well. I tried for a new position within the Army, one that I was sure that I would get only to have the door shut in my face. We now know that this was because God is calling and positioning us for service in the ministry. God has called me to preach and teach the Bible, especially to men, and I feel especially in the military. I will be beginning work on my Master's of Divinity with Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary this summer. Unless God has different things in store for us, I will be applying to the chaplain candidate program in the spring. See, the greatest joy is to see your ministry continue. So anytime you think we're a blessing to you, you need to understand what you are to us. Of 2012, Marsha will begin homeschooling of both of the boys next school year. We feel that this is the direction God has for our lives, and we are going to follow obediently. We also believe in our hearts that since we have decided to do so, that the recent events have been nothing but an attack on our faith from the father of all lies, Satan. He does not want anyone to operate in the will of God, much less devote their full time to his work. We're asking for you. We're asking you for your prayers and your agreement in this matter. We ask that you lift us up and pray that the Holy Spirit guides and comforts us and gives us peace that passes all understanding. We know that God is good, he's in control, and that all things work together for good to those that love him. This is how he signed off. We love you all, Jason and Marsha. Uncountable blessings from an unconquerable God. Jason, I have overcome the world. Now, the way she started off this message and the way we ended it, about everything going cool, is where too many people are. See, there's never a victory unless there's a challenge. Can't win a fight unless there's a fight. You never know if you can win a fight until you get into one. The problem is, too many of us quickly forget the last fight. That's what she started off with, the scripture talking about the people that had just been, I wanted to start say their socks were blessed off, but not even that happened. Their shoes wouldn't wear out, the water came from everywhere, the seas were parted. They'd been walking in such blessings. And the minute something, the minute there wasn't a challenge, they forgot the victories. And I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to walk this life without challenges. It's going to require you to believe something. Everybody will believe something. You better know what you're going to believe, and you better have somebody around you that will remind you, because you will forget once in a while. It's kind of the way it is. Now, Jason has lived through a lot of miracles, through me, through our families. He knows what God can do, and he knows what God will do. And this challenge is reminding him to fight. It's amazing that you have to remind a soldier to fight, but that's what you have to do. What she's trying to do tonight is remind you that there's a fight right now for your eternal soul and your eternal influence. And it's one thing. I can't tell you the 1,000 people that come in my mind right here that have sat in this church tell us how much they believe. And the minute there was any kind of challenge, they just flaked off. You'll never be obedient if you're not believing. You don't even know what to be obedient for if you're not believing. And then, yes, definitely, there has to be the obedience. And God is a good God. He knows how to challenge you and will be faithful to. And you'll be faithful not to like it. And then you'll be faithful to believe, and you'll be faithful to do what you're supposed to have been doing the whole time. But without something causing that belief trigger to trip, that thing that causes you to believe, that's why God is so good. when he sees you getting a little cool, he's going to cause something in your life to warm you up again. And it's for your benefit. It'll cause your success. Now, Jason's just told us, and I know you didn't hear this, but he just told us that he's going to take a tremendous pay increase. I mean, decrease. Because the unit he's in, he makes $80,000 a year. That's military. Now, not everybody does that. He makes more than his commander does. Because he's been so blessed. Same thing we just saw in the story she told. People are so blessed, they forgot how blessed they were. Now, I know enough about my son to know that that doesn't make any difference to him. That's his mind's made up. It's not going to make any difference. He won't worry about a pay decrease. They've had it under control for a long time. They're not out of control in their spending and have to, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? Now I can't make this payment. No, they don't have that kind of stuff. And they're teaching two sons right now to believe the same way. And what do you think the third son in the mother's womb is learning? The next picture, the sonogram that they sent you, what did they say? Anyway, you will believe something. You will believe something. Don't think you can float. God's not going to allow you. He's going to find out what you believe.
Actually, Marcia sent us a text. And sometimes we're like little kids. We still need visual aids. So Marcia sent me a text with our grandson, our healthy grandson's picture.
Sonogram.
And behind that, the scripture that says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. That my soul knows very well. You know what? There are some of you that were believing for some things and you've given up on them. For whatever reason, you've given up. You've quit believing. You've put it up on the shelf. And you said, I guess that wasn't for me. I guess I didn't hear God. You've put it on the back burner and you've almost forgotten about it. Get it back off the shelf. If God spoke it to you, if God gave you a word about something, get it back off the shelf. Get the dust off of it. Begin believing it again. Begin confessing it again. Remind yourself what God said He would do. Don't give up on believing for something, for your health. That ear situation, Bob, is not too big for God. But you know what? You know, we in churches, we get things out of order. What was that scripture that says? What was the scripture that says, if there's any sick and weak among you, let them call for the elders of the church. It's got to be your decision. Because, you know, I know, and I believe, because we operate in it, that if one of us has got a problem, we lay hands on each other. And we believe that God is going to take care of it. We don't have anything else to fall back on. But we don't need anything else to fall back on. We really don't need anything else to fall back on. We believe that if you lay hands on the sick, and you know what? I want to shoot this in here. It looked like to me that if you're not believing, you are sick. If you're not believing, it's a sin. And God is angry. So no matter what it is, let's stand.
Patrick, give me that Mark 11:23 again. Now 22 says, have faith in God. No matter what your question is, no matter what your worry is, have faith in God. Okay? Jesus answered. Jesus always answers the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have faith in God. Well, this seems so little, or this seems so big. I didn't see an exception there.
Amen.
Have faith in God. Go back to 23 again. Please, sir. Now, this is Jesus says, assuredly, I say. That's pretty serious, assuredly. Whoever says to the mountain, now when you call for the elders of the church, or when you ask for somebody to agree with you, you are doing this. This is what I told you Jason did. This is what I highly recommend you do always. You already have your mind made up and say it. I want you to agree with. If I've had people walk right up here and say, I want you to agree with me about something. I said, no, I'm not going to agree with that. That's crazy. What are you nuts? But when you, she said she told the lady, hush. You know why? Because the lady was demanding and telling you how to pray. And then she was nice. She said micromanagement. What you're really doing is telling God how to do his business. I promise you that you need to be able to say something. When you say to whatever problem this is, whether it's ear, finances, or whatever, be removed and cast into the sea. When you say that and does not doubt in his heart, that's two of the things. What you say, and then do not doubt. One other thing. Now, isn't it strange that that's put in there after no doubt? Well, what does it mean? That means doubt's going to try to come back. So don't ever think because you say it once, you may have to say it 70 times 7. And forgiving yourself for doubting 70 times 7. Believes that those things he will say will be done. After you've done those three things, he will have whatever he says. How many times says is in there? That's right. When possible. If not, you can speak it quietly if you're in the midst of, but whatever. Everybody needs to know what you believe anyway. So go ahead and let it be known. So I would recommend what you call in prayer time, whatever you mean by that. When you pray for somebody, if they don't have a belief system, you better minister the belief system before you start the prayer. And if you can't preach it, then you pray it where they'll understand. You remember what I said? The person that has the last wins. Whatever's last said wins. That's the scripture I base that on. Okay? And I don't care if there's a big doctor with a big Mercedes out in the driveway. He does not have the last word.
That's right.
He does not. God established it is finished before you were born.
Yeah.
Now you have to do is say it is finished with him.
If you need anything, it doesn't matter. If you need anything, come forward. Because I just asked Bill if you had oil. He said yes. I tell the people of the church down there, you know what? I don't tell you anything. I don't think I could tell you anything that I really didn't believe, Harry. I am firmly convinced. There is no doubt. There is no question in my mind. Praise God. There is no plan B. Only plan A. Well, elders, Bob has come up front here, and we're going to do as God's word said.
Okay, who needs to get prayed for? Okay, what do you need? Okay, let me warn all of you about something. He made a mistake there. What was the mistake? No. You don't have a need. I'll explain that in a minute. But the biggest mistake that Christians make is they use English gender. They put tense in there. Not gender, but tense. He said, God will. The Bible says, God has.
Amen.
So what's important about this? His catching up to what God has already done.
Yeah.
And you know why he needs to do that? Because he needs the faith boost. He needs to remember, and I told this to somebody yesterday, I think, that, and I told it to you Sunday, that when Jesus took the bruises and stripes, he had you, and he had that ear right there in his eye. That's where it was all taken care of. Only the price was paid when he died on the cross. That was a legal thing. His death was a legal thing. But his gift to you was done in the bruises and stripes. I know that that's against most teaching, but I don't care. I'm against most teaching. I like the Bible myself. Now, are you going to believe that no matter what you feel, it's done? See, nobody, it didn't say it will be done instantly, which I hope it is. Everybody hopes that when they get prayed for, it's all cleared right there. But how do you build faith if it happens instantly? You know who gets to see miracles instantly? Unbelievers. You have to operate in faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. And your job is to please God, not be introduced to Him. Now, I said it Sunday. You weren't here, I'm going to say it again. You've never done anything in your life that would cause this. You got to make that as a faith statement. I don't deserve this. And I go one step further that I didn't say Sunday. You're created in His likeness image. And you can have a bad ear when He does. And that goes for every sickness and every disease. You're not legal having a malady unless He does. Hey, listen, that's what your television, your newscast, all of them want to put on you, the time when you get sick. Because the medical industry makes money in that. And God is not interested in funding the medical industry. He's interested in your health and well-being.
Yeah.
Now, who wants to pray?
Elders, as it says in the Bible, elders that believe,
let's lay hands. As he's talking with her, you know what? It's neat to see, like he said, about our son. We're seeing the next generation go on. And you know what? It's not over. We're going to see another generation here. Where there's generations, unless the Lord comes, we're going to see more generations coming here, speaking God's word, believing God's word, sharing God's word, letting other people know so that they can believe. We're living in a world that people are out there, they don't have anything to believe except what man can do for them. They're on sinking sand. They need God. They need God in their life. And you need to be able to share with them the God that is in you. That same spirit that is in you. If that same spirit that's in you. They need that. They need that. Sean, do you need anything tonight? I know that Sean is visiting with us tonight, but you know what? After tonight, you're welcome home. After tonight, we're glad to have you. But you know what? This body, if you have any needs, these people are faithful. They trust God. They believe God. God's word comes forth from this pulpit, from Bob and from Bill. Thank the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Faith continues to be spoken. Sean, do you have anything? I don't want to call you out. Praise the Lord. Well, God continue to bless you. Thank you so much for coming. I hope that you were ministered to tonight. And you know what, Sean? You'll never be the same. You will never be the same. Amen? Amen.
Now, that's what a help meet looks like. Now, I said that's what a help meet looks like. Y'all don't know the Bible? It's in Genesis. God gave you help meets. He didn't give you help mates. It's absolutely amazing if you'll open your mind. It's somebody worthy to serve you. Men, what does that put you? Where does that put you? What's the obligation on you because of that? If you'll understand the house and what a man is supposed to do in a house, you'll understand the government of the church. You'll understand the triune Godhead. You'll understand how the kingdom works. And His will, His word, His orders will be obeyed. Believing is not an option, it's a command. Without belief, I will use the terms that my wife looked at me the first night she started studying this. Without belief, God has pissed at you. That's what that scripture said. I don't care how good you think you've done, and I don't care what miracles you've seen in your life. Today, if you didn't believe God for something, then you owe an apology to God. And if you'll work that, if you'll try it, He'll even get better. Things won't get worse. What about the challenges to come? Everybody understand you're going to have challenges? And you're to be encouraged, not discouraged? Every fight that opens up to you, you need to understand that, oh, it's another opportunity to win. It won't feel like that. It's a decision you have to make. Whether it's an attack on your body, or if it's an attack on your mind, there's only one attack there is, and that's on your mind, by the way. Let's just get real. Even a pain in your body is still an attack on your mind. Our heart's clear. Are we ready to leave? Don't leave the word behind. take it with you. Let it tear you a new one. Come on. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the word. I thank you for the lady that delivered the word. I thank you that it's truth that passes all understanding. I thank you for the healings that have taken place. I thank you for the mind healings and the flesh healings that have taken place tonight. I thank you for the revelation of the cross, revelation of the crucifixion, revelation of what Jesus did for us and to the enemy for us. I thank you. I love you more than that. I trust you. Use this congregation as they really truly start to believe you, really start to trust you, really start to do things far beyond their own beings and abilities, that you will grow this church as they reveal the cross and Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that the place fills up and fills up and fills up. Let it be so in Jesus' name. And let it be this reason, for the kingdom, not for our own gratification. In Jesus' name we ask you and thank you in advance. And everybody agrees, says amen.